Chapter 2. Yaz. Yaz sits in her seat in the middle of the audience and waits for the play to begin. She would rather be sitting somewhere in the back, just in case the play is another embarrassment. Two members of her university squad, Waris and Courtney, are sitting on either side of her. Yaz wants to be a journalist when she finishes university and is studying English literature. Waris is studying politics and wants to join the government to speak up for black people. Courtney is studying American studies because she likes African-American men and wants to move to America one day to find a husband. Yaz looks around the theatre. She can see Mum's friends seated in the audience. She can see Dad, too. He does not like to be called Dad.
"You can call me Roland," he said to her once.
"No," Yaz replied. "You're my dad, Dad." He is dressed in an expensive suit, and Yaz can see him looking around the theatre, trying to see if anyone has recognised him from television. Dad is a famous author and a professor at the University of London. "He used to be a great guy," Mum once told her, "before he became famous. Now, all he cares about is being in front of a camera. He's sold out." Yaz thinks they have both sold out, especially now Mum has a play on at the National. Kenny is sitting next to Dad. Yaz likes Kenny, mostly because he gives her a lot of money on her birthday every year, but also because Kenny is a nice person. Dad and Kenny have a lot of money, unlike Mum. Once she has graduated and is working, Yaz is going to persuade Mum to sell the house and move into a smaller home. With the remaining money, Yaz will be able to buy a small, one-bedroom flat. "It's a good idea, isn't it, Mum?" Yaz asked her once. "Isn't that what mums are supposed to do? Help their children get their own homes?" Mum did not say anything. Yaz hopes the play will be good. She does not want to have to listen to Mum complain for weeks about the reviews if it is bad. She knows exactly what Mum will say. "They're trying to ruin my career. It's because I'm a black woman and they don't know what I've had to go through over the last 40 years. If I had written a play about drugs or slaves, they would have liked it." Yaz has heard it all before, and she does not want to hear it again. Yaz thought she would find love at university, but so far, she has only found her squad. Nenet is the third member of the squad. She is Egyptian and is engaged to Kadim, who is studying in America. They are having an arranged marriage. Nenet did not want to marry Kadim at first, but then her parents told her they would stop giving her any money. So Nenet agreed to the marriage. Luckily, Nenet and Kadim discovered that they actually like each other. Waris is also dating someone, a Somali-Norwegian boy called Einar, who she met in secondary school. Waris and Einar both like Japanese cartoons called anime. Waris likes to draw as a hobby and is working on a cartoon about a female Somali superhero who hunts men who hurt women. Waris is Muslim and wears a hijab. She also loves makeup and never leaves her room without any on. Waris thinks she is ugly without makeup. "That's silly," says Yaz, whenever Waris complains about her looks. "Somali women are the most beautiful in the world, and that includes you too, Waris." Waris is beautiful, but Yaz sees the horrible looks people give her when they walk around town. "It's my hijab," Waris told her once. "Life was different before 9/11. My mother told me that before, people were just interested in people who look like me. Now they see the hijab and think I've got a bomb. It's horrible. My grandmother is too scared to leave the house in case someone tries to hurt her." Now, when Yaz sees people glaring at Waris as they walk past, Yaz glares right back. Courtney is the fourth member of the squad. Courtney is white. They met her one evening when Yaz, Waris, and Nenet were dancing to some Egyptian music that Nenet had introduced them to. "Please can you turn your music down?" said Courtney once Yaz opened the door. "I'm trying to sleep." "Lots of people are playing music in this building," said Yaz. She put her hands on her hips and looked at Courtney carefully. "Why are you only telling us?" Nenet did not wait for Courtney to answer. Instead, she invited her inside Yaz's bedroom and played a song for her. "Do you like it?" asked Nenet. "Yeah," said Courtney. "I like this fa-la-la music, and I like belly dancing." "Aren't you offended by that?" Yaz asked Nenet. "Stop it, Yaz," said Nenet. Then she began explaining the song to Courtney and showed her how to dance to it. That night, they all fell asleep in Yaz's bedroom. In the morning, they got breakfast together. As Courtney ate, she told them that she had grown up on a farm. Then she looked up at Waris and asked, "Why do you wear a hijab?" Yaz expected Waris to be angry at the question, but she was not. "I wear it because of my culture and my politics," said Waris in a surprisingly calm voice. "Anyway, my mother told me I don't need to explain myself to anyone." "Oh," said Courtney. "Sorry, I was only asking because I didn't know." "Cool," said Waris. "Well, now you do." Yaz decided that she liked Courtney. She did not know much about other cultures, but she seemed nice and like she wanted to learn. Courtney continues to surprise Yaz. Once, Yaz tried to teach Courtney about privilege. "You're a white girl who is friends with brown girls. That means you'll lose a bit of your white privilege, but you're still more privileged than the rest of us, so don't forget that," Yaz told her. "Your father is a professor and your mother is a famous theatre director," said Courtney. "I think that makes you very privileged. I'm from a very poor family and I live in an area where it's normal to get your first job in a factory at 16. "Yes," said Yaz, "but I'm black. That means my life is harder than yours. So you still have more privilege than me. It doesn't matter who my parents are." "I don't agree," said Courtney. "You should read Roxane Gay's book, Bad Feminist. She talks about privilege and how trying to measure it and compare each other's privilege is a bad idea." Yaz was shocked and impressed. How did Courtney know about Roxane Gay? "Anyway," said Courtney, "I only like black men and will probably have mixed race babies, so I'll lose some of my white privilege then, won't I?" Yaz did not know how to reply to that. Yaz invited Courtney to come and stay at her house the summer after their first year. Courtney had only been to London once before, so Yaz showed her around. Courtney enjoyed it, mostly because it was the first time she had seen so many black men in one place. The men seemed to like her as well. Yaz noticed the way they looked at Courtney as they walked past. They did not look at her like that, and Yaz did not like how that made her feel. Later, she and Courtney went to visit Nenet, who lived in a large house in a very rich part of London. A servant answered the door to them and led them inside Nenet's house. Nenet's house was huge and decorated with expensive-looking items. They waited in a large hallway with white stone floors and Hollywood stairs until Nenet came downstairs holding a small white dog in her arms. Nenet's wealth made Yaz feel sick. The three women went for a walk in the park,
and discussed university and what they planned to do for the summer. Yaz and Courtney were going to spend it getting ready for their second year and working at their summer jobs. "What about you, Nanette?" asked Yaz. "Are you going to spend the summer studying for second year?"
"No," said Nanette. She smiled like she had a secret. "I don't need to."
"Why?"
"Promise you won't tell anyone. Especially Waris. You can't tell Waris. But I don't write any of my own essays. I pay for someone else to do it for me, so I don't need to study."
Yaz could not believe it. "That's cheating."
"It's not cheating," said Nanette. "Other people do it too."
"That doesn't make it right," said Yaz. Yaz's opinion of Nanette changed after that. She was a lazy little rich girl who did not have to work as hard as her, Waris, or even Courtney. Yaz is sitting in the audience for Mum's play, thinking about her squad. She wonders if they will still be friends once they finish university. She is not sure she can be friends with someone like Nanette, even if she is a brown girl. The lights go down, and Yaz sits back in her seat. The last Amazon of Dahomey is starting.